Welcome to Local Matters, Mountain Express's weekly news podcast. This is news editor Margaret Williams, joined by staff reporter Jake Frankel and all-around multimedia dude. He's been covering URTV, which is a complex and controversial topic.
Yeah, a few weeks ago they sent out a press release announcing that they were going to be shutting down operations this Friday, April 30th. Since then, they've changed positions, though, and are in the process of threatening legal action against Buncombe County for funding that they say they are due under state law. The county disagrees with that position. Their attorney, Michael Frew, recently released a legal memo stating that the county feels they've given URTV all the money they're required to give them under the state statute. The board chair David Gant has said that he trusts the opinion of his lawyer and technical advisors. So we're going to have to see what happens. URTV now says they are going to stay open at least through the first week of May, while they speak with folks at the state attorney general's office as well as lawyers.
So URTV has a little different opinion with the memo that Frew put out.
They sure do. Their opinion is that the county owes them hundreds of thousands of dollars in money that they're legally required to distribute to them. This money is money that's collected from the telecommunications companies throughout the state. It's funded through Raleigh and then is distributed to the counties.
And there's a contract between URTV and the county which may or may not be in effect. And we're still sorting that out, and so are all the folks involved.
Exactly. The memo from Michael Frew stated that in the county's mind, the official contract with URTV to provide the public access channel expired in February of 2010. URTV cites language in the contract that says unless they are given an official notice of termination, the contract stands. And they say they were not given a official notice of termination.
So we're keeping a watch to see how this is all going to play out, whether they actually do file a lawsuit, whether the URTV ends up closing, or exactly what happens.
Absolutely. It's very contentious at this point, and it does seem like it's heading in the direction of legal action. Of course, we're not sure, but we're going to be paying really close attention to find out.
Well, good. Thanks, Mr. Frankel, for keeping up with us, and more on that topic later.
Thank you.
Joining me now is senior news reporter David Forbes, who covered the city council meeting recently, and they had a little beef to take up with the General Assembly about the airport.
Yes, there's proposed legislation before the General Assembly that would turn over the Asheville Regional Airport to an independent authority, and it would put two representatives on this independent authority from Buncombe, the city, and Henderson County. It's a big increase for Henderson County.
Two each,
yeah.
Henderson County has no
Official representation, though traditionally the at-large member on the airport board is a Henderson County resident. Mm-hmm. But this would reduce the city's representation. The city, back when the airport was established, out of tax, paid for part of it out of tax dollars. And this legislation is supported by all the local representatives, including two Democrats, Susan Fisher and Patsy Kiever, and a Republican, Tim Moffitt. And the city was pretty angry about this. City Council was. All the members, they ended up unanimously voting for a resolution condemning the move. They said that they don't like the legislation's proposal to transfer city property away from the city with no compensation. They didn't like the way the board was being changed to lessen their representation and to restrict elected officials from serving on it. And they said they didn't like that they weren't consulted about this legislation or about its implications before it kind of came through. And they condemned it in some pretty harsh terms, as a matter of fact. And this kind of sparked a larger discussion, debate, I guess, not even debate, because grievance about the way the General Assembly has generally dealt with Asheville, especially in this last legislative session. And basically, Councilmember Gordon Smith proposed some language that would pass a resolution saying that council was condemning the General Assembly for conduct, I think, antithetical to democracy, saying that the General Assembly's legislation, like the revoking the Biltmore Lake annexation from 2005, like this part with the airport, basically it's that said that it showed a general trend of disregard for local elected officials and their opinions. And while that resolution was not passed this meeting, they will take it up later. They're crafting the language for it.
They're working on the language for that. And City Attorney Bobo said he's looking into all the details and legalities of
yes.
that proposed change to the airport.
Yes, of the airport change. But yeah, this did open. I mean, every city council member, despite whatever their personal political philosophy, was pretty angry about the General Assembly. They said that they're not being consulted enough on any of these measures, and that they have a feel that Raleigh is kind of riding roughshod, I believe a term was used, over local concerns without consultation.
And Asheville Mayor Terry Bellamy, you quote as saying that they're taking the airport. What's next?
Yes, exactly.
Roughly.
And I think this is. I mean, this is a beef between the city and the state to some degree that goes back even to the Sullivan Acts a few years ago, which severely restricted how Asheville could use its water revenues and what it could use it for. And there were a lot of there was a huge debate about that, of course, between county residents and city and the city and some other plenty of other issues involved. But from that time on to this, there did seem to be a feeling from all the city that the General Assembly frequently just comes in, tells them what to do, and doesn't consult them. And they think that's wrong. So.
And the airport is what's called a satellite annexation of the city of Asheville.
Yes.
It's not contiguous to the city limits. It is part of the city of Asheville.
Yes, it is
and
part of the city.
The city owns everything?
The city owns a good deal of the property on there. I mean, and this was pointed out by Vice Mayor Brownie Newman, who does also sit in the airport authority, that he said he wasn't opposed in theory to have an independent authority, but this was not the way to go about it. And this, that Asheville's investment in this back when it was established needed to be respected. And also he was concerned with the kind of top-down way, in his view, this is being done instead of, consulting with the various people involved and trying to, have more regional cooperation. But yeah, the some parts, of, I mean, the Federal Aviation Administration has a lot of rules and concerns about how any airport is run.
So those rules have to be looked at?
Well, they have to be followed no matter who's in control of an airport. But yeah, the federal government does have a kind of a role in all this too. But yes, and federal subsidies were also involved in the construction and development of the airport. But at the same time, the city tax funds were as well, and I think that was behind council's kind of sense that they felt this was a raw deal.
Okay, so the state matters you can find at mountainx.com/special/NC matters, where former editor Nelda Holder keeps up with what the legislators are proposing these days. But David, there was more that came up at the city council meeting.
Yes, the formal budget was proposed. This is staff's recommended budget based on what city council has given them, the recommendations they've given them. And it's basically trying to kind of hold the line, and that was a term that came up in some of the budget discussions earlier in the year. Asheville has had some positive signs as far as property tax revenue and sales tax revenue, but at the same time, the construction industry still around here was very hard hit, so there's less permit fees, less income from that. The end result is a 0.61% decline from last year's budget, and most of that is made up by eliminating some staff positions, most of which were frozen positions that are just not going to hold open anymore, or positions that people are retiring and they're just not going to fill them when they retire. And also they changed the way the city health plan that with more preventive care, but also capped the city's contribution to it. That's going to save some funds. And they also increased water fees to some consumers and increased a few other fees. And that's kind of how they decided to balance the budget this year. Of course, staff was behind this proposal. They said it had been a very, business-like, in City Manager Gary Jackson's words, proceeding. They'd, kind of gone the nuts and bolts. And the city had another phrase that came up a lot, showed it would live within its means. There was no property tax increase in this budget. And they also avoided most major service cuts. So, That will be at the next city council meeting in early May. That will be the public hearing on the budget, and then there'll be a final vote later in May after council offers any changes that it might have. Also another issue came up, speaking of state legislation, is the part of Leicester is trying to incorporate its own town. Council narrowly, 4-3, endorsed this with some conditions. They have some concerns about a proposal for that town to incorporate a part of Leicester Highway that's very close to the city. And they had some concerns about that. But other than that, they said they were fine with the proposal. It's much smaller than the 2008 proposal, which would have made Leicester one of the largest towns in the state, one of the largest municipalities. Though this proposal was still, it has 11,000 people in 24 square miles, which is over half the size of the city of Asheville. And that led some council members, Browning Newman especially, to vote against this, saying they couldn't endorse that sort of incorporation. They thought it was bad land use to incorporate large parts of a rural area. They did endorse that very narrowly, and council also passed a 5-1 incentive for the Weirbridge Village apartments.
That's in South Asheville.
Yes, 280 units. It's workforce housing, and Councilmember Gordon Smith touted this as an example of their sustainable development incentive policy is working, and that offers some exemption from taxation, possibly for a certain number of years, if a project offers a certain amount of workforce and affordable housing and has sustainable energy features and energy-saving construction, it's near a transit line. There are a number of factors. This is the first project to apply for those incentives. The city passed them late last year, and they were touting this as a success. The supporters of this project were, because they said that originally this was going to be more expensive apartments, but looking at the incentives policy, the developer decided to make them workforce housing instead, or many of them. If the developer goes through with it, if they complete what they've committed to completing, they will get a 2-year tax exemption from the city. The only vote against that was council member Cecil Bothwell, who said that while he likes the project, and he actually had some praise for it, he also said he doesn't believe in those sort of incentives to private business, period, and so he's voting against it.
And meanwhile, in some other news, Cecil Bothwell announced that he will indeed run in the Democratic primary against Representative Heath Shuler.
Yes, and that was some big news, especially because, and this is the latest change. He's electorally. Initially, Bothwell declared that he was going to run for Democratic Party chair. He later said he would not because he'd be running in a primary. He didn't specify for which office at the time. Then he said he'd be running at Shuler, but as an independent, because he thought that Shuler's money would not allow him to compete really in the primary, and that he planned to use a petition drive, because you need a petition with about 20,000 signatures for this district to get on. The ballot as an unaffiliated candidate in the state of North Carolina, the congressional ballot. But now he's decided differently. He said that people had come up to him and asked him to run as a Democrat, and so he's running in the Democratic primary now against Shuler.
In 2012, so there's
yes.
a way for that.
Yes.
Okay, well, David, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
That wraps it up for Local Matters. Thank you.